Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot of news on our football team since I've been out for the last couple of days. I understand that the practice at FedEx Field on Saturday night had a nice crowd, an enthusiastic crowd. I was told by several people who are very negative about the team, I won't mention their names in the media, that the players and the organization did a phenomenal job of making themselves available to the people that showed up for this thing. Apparently, Chase Young stood there for over an hour on Saturday night after this practice and signed autographs. Good for him. Good for them. This is what they should be thinking about. They should be viewing themselves very much as kind of an introductory of a new business. They've got to do everything they can to cultivate a fan base and certainly to attempt to bring back people who are long gone. I don't know how possible that is. But they are doing the right things. And I've said this many times, despite all of their gaffes over the last 2 years since Jason and Ron got here. Because if you listen to them, you'd believe that it's been a clean slate, that nothing, that they've been phenomenal and everything has been great the last 2 years. And really what we've been, stewing about and obsessing about are things that happened many, many years ago. Well, we know that's not true because it's been one gaffe after another, whether it's Sean Taylor or the Sean Taylor weekend or retirement jersey, whether it was the DEA raiding the facility, whether it was the rollout of 2222, whether it was the Trent Williams stuff, whatever. But I do and have said this consistently. I do think that they are good people. They are quality people, that they are more often than not a group of more competent people than have been in the organization previously. And so a lot of the stuff that happened many years ago isn't as likely. And we're talking about more of the workplace culture, which was, beyond the toxicity of it, beyond the misogyny and the harassment of many years of Dan Snyder's reign here. It was the most arrogant group of people you would ever want to be around. I mean, if you spent 5 minutes with people in their business group, you would think they're coming off Lombardi Trophy after Lombardi Trophy. They had no realistic understanding of what people in the marketplace were beginning to think about them. They sold themselves and walked around as if it was 1991. And that's changed. It has, at least in terms of my personal encounters with many of the new people. And as it relates to Jason and Ron, these are two people that are quality people and I think competent. Now, for Ron and for Jason, the only thing that matters ultimately is they get some wins. And they start winning more than they've been losing. 14-19. Ron Rivera's got 4 losing seasons in his last 5 as a head coach. I'm very aware of that. I still think he's a good coach. I still think the staff is pretty decent. The staff changed yesterday. I'll get to that here momentarily. But I did want to mention that, from what I understand, and it doesn't surprise me because I think this has been an emphasis from Jason Wright, to become a more consumer-friendly business. And by the way, when it, not just for the end user, but for the business partner, that they're better business partners. They are less arrogant than they've been. They are more customer service oriented. They treat people like customers. They never used to treat people like customers. They needed customers, but they treated you as if you were lucky to be doing business with them. That's changed. And good for them to kind of understand this and recognize what they need to do and in terms of building back a fan base, especially with the rollout of the new brand. So I heard that that was great. With respect to the Carson Wentz stuff and all of the conversation about his accuracy and him being off, Ron Rivera told you that he had been inaccurate on Saturday night. Ben Standing asked him the question, but he said he's not overly concerned about it. And I don't know why anybody would be at this point. First of all, if you've watched Carson Wentz, and most of you have, he's not known for his accuracy. Sure, there have been decent completion percentage seasons. There have been decent interception percentage seasons. We understand that. But if you're a straight box score reader and you're not watching the games, you know that he's not always accurate, even if the ball gets caught. It's not his strength. What his strength is and what he brings this team is a big, strapping, you know, a freakish athlete that will stretch the field with the threat of his arm strength. He can make every throw. They haven't had that at quarterback in a few years. It's an upgrade. But if you're counting on him to be consistently accurate, especially with some of the easy stuff, don't be surprised if he isn't. But in terms of panicking now, why would you? This is his third team in 3 years, third coaching staff, third group of receivers, third offensive line, third playbook, third terminology environment for him in 3 years. It's going to take some time. It's August 10th. It's the preseason. You can't take these play-by-plays from training camp and the seven-on-sevens and take anything from them. Listen to what the beat reporters are saying, not transcribing or not calling in terms of play-by-play. Listen to what they are hearing and seeing, but more importantly, what they are hearing from coaches and players, and then what you hear from the coaches and players. That's much more important this time of year. The only thing that happens on the field at this point that's significant is injury. Anyway, so yesterday, the team fired Sam Mills III. The timing of this, really stunning. You very rarely, a couple of weeks into training camp, get the firing of a position coach. I've been talking about Sam Mills and the defensive line room for 2 years. I don't know if I was the first or not. It's really not that important for me. But I told you 2 years ago that Matt Ioannidis won it out, that Ryan Kerrigan was not thrilled with the way he was being coached, that even the young players, you know, whether it was John Allen or Daron Payne or Chase Young, that they didn't love the way they were being coached. It wasn't that they disliked the guy, but they just were not confident that he knew what he was doing. But what happened was at the end of 2020, they started to play well. They made a run. They made the playoffs. They played competitively in a playoff game. And Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio had the backs of their coaching staff. And Sam Mills had been with Ron Rivera. Sam Mills, part of the Carolina Mafia. You know, so it was, you know, this is an our way or highway situation. And we play this system. We play this gap integrity, gap scheme system, and you will learn it and play the way we coach it, period. You may not like it, but you guys were 3-13 the year before. Is that what they were in the final year of Gruden and Callahan, 3-13? I think that's what they were. It was Ron Rivera, when he took the Carolina job, got a lot of pushback with he and his staff in the first year in 2010. And he told this story when he got the job here in Washington, that it's at one point, whether it was training camp or early in the season, he basically called a team meeting because there was a lot of bitching about how they were being coached. And he said, you guys were, you know, with curse words, blanking 2-14 last year. What are you talking about? You'll do it our way. Maybe we can win more than two our way. And he inherited the same kind of a thing. You know, a team that was not very good, had some talent on defense, but he didn't come here to change his coaching schemes. But Sam Mills, for a lot of us that talk to various people and get information every once in a while, knew from the jump that he was the assistant that his position group of players was having issues with. Matt Ioannidis wanted out. Ryan Kerrigan had issues with him. The younger players had issues with him as well. Not him personally necessarily, but with the way he was coaching them. But they got some results at the end of 2020, as we know, against second and third string quarterbacks, against teams that were really limited offensively. They made a run and won a division at 7-9, and they did it with incredible defensive performances down the stretch, so all was good. Entering last year, it wasn't nearly as loud as it was in 2020 in terms of the disconnect between players and defensive line coach, but you knew it was there. My question is, we've thought that this was a possibility for a while. We thought he could have been fired at the end of 2020. Thought it could have happened at the end of 2021. And typically when you decide to move on from assistant coaches, you do it when the season ends. You know, your regular season is over, and within 2 days, the announcements start coming of defensive line coach Sam Mills was relieved of his duties. He was fired. So Washington's now in the market for a new D-line coach. But that didn't happen. So what did happen? Because something happened in the last couple of days. I don't know specifically what happened. I made a lot of calls yesterday. I don't know specifically what happened. But I have a theory on what happened. And I'll share that theory with you when we come back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. And we are also free on the Live Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Very difficult, very difficult. I've known Sam a long time, and he's a very good football coach, and I really appreciate everything he's done. You know, he helped us win a division our first year, and, you know, and just things got tough last year, but there's some things that, you know, I felt I wanted to change.
It's Ron Rivera talking about firing Sam Mills yesterday. You know, Mills was with Rivera, and you can tell this is the stuff where I think when I listen to Ron, you
I think one of the reasons his players respect him, like him, follow him, and I think Ron's greatest strength, and you may say from afar that it comes off sometimes as something that it's not something necessarily you would respond to, but his players have always liked him, and I think it's one of the reasons is he truly cares, and I think these are the decisions that really do impact him. And this was a tough decision for him, but the surprising part of the decision really was the timing more than anything else. And netting it out, we've been talking about this on and off for 2 years, that the defensive line player group has had an issue since the beginning of 2020 when Ron Rivera and his staff got there with the way they had been coached, technique-wise and otherwise, by Sam Mills. And last year, you know, it sort of manifested itself into poor performance, back and forth between coaches and players. Remember, the head coach called out for not, you know, set players, and we know kind of in hindsight who those players were, the two young defensive ends in particular, for not adhering to the scheme, for not doing their jobs, for not being mature. So this has been building, you know, this has been building for some time. So it's a bit surprising that it happened yesterday. I can't tell you specifically why it happened yesterday. We'll ask Ben Standig that question at 8 a.m. My theory is this. It's been something that I'm sure Ron Rivera has, you know, been confronted with, perhaps, you know, has recognized himself that this has been an issue. Look, on performance alone last year, in a lot of organizations that go 7-10 and have the strength of their team, their defensive line, be the biggest disappointment of the season. And sure, there were injuries, of course, but still a massive disappointment even before the injuries started. You know, many times you will see changes to the staff. They happen immediately, they happen swiftly, and they replace them with somebody else. I mean, that we didn't see any turnover, really. And, you know, there was some question about whether or not both coordinators would survive. I'm glad Scott Turner survived, I can tell you that. I am a fan of Scott Turner's, and I think you're going to realize more this year why, with a legitimate, you know, NFL arm at the helm. But, you know, you had an underperforming D-line. You had the issue with Daron Payne and John Allen on the sideline in Dallas. Now, that was a lot of frustration after what was a very difficult stretch of COVID losses, of rescheduled games. And then, you know, after playing Philadelphia on a Tuesday night, they had a short turnaround during a holiday week to play Dallas, and it was an embarrassing night. But that night included basically, you know, confrontation between Payne and Mills. And so, you know, this was what kind of led to the John Allen situation. And, you know, we saw the ugliness that ensued, and it was another kind of black eye, at least, you know, short-term black eye, for the organization on that night. My theory on why it happened now is that Sam Mills was given a few days off, over the weekend to attend the Hall of Fame induction of his late father, Sam Mills, who played for Carolina and was an incredible linebacker in the NFL, a Hall of Fame linebacker. And he was given the weekend and excused from practice to go to Canton for you know, his father's enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And by doing that, for the first time, there was an opportunity to see someone else coach the defensive line. Not only that, in an important practice, which was the one Saturday night at FedEx Field. And my theory is, it's one thing to sort of have this suggested to you, to even contemplate it yourself as the head coach. But, you know, you have to have a solution before you start shooting people. I mean, for people who have ever been involved in decision-making in businesses, you know, or as a manager, you know, you may say, this person's not that good, I could probably do better, but you have to have the do better answer. You've got to have the solution. And I think maybe it became more apparent to Ron, maybe for the first time over the weekend when Sam Mills was absent, that the answer was Jeff Skinnina, the guy who had been assisting Sam Mills, a guy who the players really liked and believed in. And to see him take it over and be the coach of the defensive line for a couple of days with Mills out maybe was what convinced Ron, we've got to do it now. This has been on my mind for a while. We almost pulled the trigger at the end of the season. We didn't. Perhaps he didn't like the way things were going on. He cited, you know, kind of, you know, this, you know, I'm looking for the quote here. I can't find the specific quote from Rivera that I was looking for. And I don't think that's the next one, Denton. But basically, you know, he said eventually it came down to something sort of philosophical. Well, philosophical, they've known each other's philosophies for a while. I think it may have been he had a chance to see what it looked like without him, and he liked it. That makes sense to me. Could have been an issue. Could have been something. It could have been one event. Could have been something that was said. But I think they got a chance to see what it looked like without him, and they moved on. I would not get worked up over this. I know it's not typical for a position coach to get fired after training camp has already started. These things and staffs are, you know, finalized and figured out much, much earlier in the off season. And you could, you know, chalk this up to another sign of, you know, Skin's dysfunction. But I think this is one that's been coming for a while, and probably the regret from Rivera's standpoint is it wasn't done much earlier, so it didn't become this, you know, temporary distraction as the season is underway here with training camp. That would be my guess. The first depth chart, official depth chart, came out yesterday. Now, these things are required by the league, and they really don't mean much. But if you're wondering about anything that stuck out, you know, at guard, they do have Trey Turner in there as the first team right guard ahead of Wes Schweitzer. That's one of those positions you're not, you know, entirely sure about. They still have Logan Thomas there as the starting tight end. They have Curtis Samuel as one of the three starting receivers, McLaurin, Samuel, and Dotson. I'm not sure who should have been in front of him. I mean, if we had seen De'Ami Brown or Cam Sims or Dax Milne in front of Curtis Samuel, we would have been surprised. Gibson, McKissick, Robinson. And really, you know, defensively, what you see is you see five DBs listed as starters and just two linebackers. You see Davis and Holcomb at linebacker, and then you see Fuller, Jackson, St. Juice, Curl, and McCain as the five DBs that are listed as starting defensive players. And, you know, that makes Benjamin St. Juice, which has been the guess for the 11th starter on defense from a lot of the guys on the beat, including Ben, you know, at least as far as the first depth chart goes, that makes him the 11th starter on defense. Chase Young still penciled in as a starter, even though Ron Rivera has already told you he's going to miss the first game. And we're obviously concerned about him missing much of the early portion of the schedule. By the way, speaking of the early portion of the schedule, something else that came out yesterday was the uniform schedule for the team on their home schedule. What jerseys they are going to wear. They are not going to be a consistent dark jersey at home team. They are going to wear white at home on occasion, and then they're going to wear their alternate black new uniforms as well for two games. They're going to wear white in the preseason opener against Carolina. They should. It's an afternoon game in August. They should stay as cool as possible. Wearing white's always a good idea on days like that. The home opener will feature their white uniforms. So they really, by releasing their schedule of home jersey colors, they don't really have a home and away. They're going to split it up. Many teams do that and split it up. Washington's going to wear white in week one against Jacksonville, White in week three, their second home game against the Eagles, and White in the season finale, making the Cowboys wear their blue uniforms at FedEx Field in week 18. I like that. By the way, to me, White should be the home uniform, but it really would be the uniform that I'm looking for would be the championship uniform. Burgundy pants, white tops. I still think that that white uniform, and I haven't seen it up close. People have told me there's more. It looks more burgundy in person than it did on the rollout of what the new jerseys looked like on 2222. They looked more scarlet to me. But anyway, they're going to wear white for three regular season home games. They're going to wear burgundy for four regular season home games against the Titans, Packers, Giants, and Browns. And then they're going to wear their alternate black jerseys twice at home against the Vikings and the Falcons. So that was announced yesterday. I don't recall, by the way, home jersey colors being announced before the season started. I'm not sure if it was a requirement to do that in previous years. It may have been, but I don't remember it being published or announced. But with this team and their new jerseys, you have the schedule now. Nikki Javala actually put it out there on her Twitter account, at Nikki Javala. She has the rundown of the schedule for the Commanders' home jersey colors in their debut season as the Commanders. So we're going to see white, what the white jerseys look like on Saturday, and then we are going to see them again in week one against Jacksonville. Week one and week three, the two September home games, I think they're both in September, are going to be, you know, potentially hot weather games. So I would assume that's why they are going with white to start the season, with the two home games that are in the hot portion of the schedule. They're going to wear white at home against Jacksonville and Philadelphia, and then you will see burgundy for the first time at home on October 9th against the Titans. Can't wait for the regular season. All right, up next, John Oran from Sports Business Journal is going to jump on with me. There's news with respect to what will be one of the all-time blockbuster college TV deals, and it's with the Big Ten. We'll talk to John about that and a lot more next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. I do want to tell you, actually, real quickly before we get to the break, Window Nation's got their back-to-school sale going on right now. You get two free windows with every two you buy, plus you don't have to pay anything until the year 2024. You'll lower your energy bills. You'll raise the value of your home with new energy efficient windows from Window Nation. You'll get an A+ in savings. Yeah, they're back to school sale. And believe it or not, there are schools that I think are on the verge of going back next week. It's much too early. If you've been thinking about new windows, I would urge you to give Window Nation the first shot. If you tell them that you heard about Window Nation from me, you'll get a free estimate and they will take good care of you. You don't have to act on that estimate right away. They'll give you a free estimate. They can do it online virtually. Call them at 866-90-NATION. Go to windownation.com. I'm a customer. I've been endorsing Window Nation for 13 years. I've got complete trust in them. They've installed over 200,000 windows in the last year alone, 40 times more than the average window company. 96% of them required no follow-up service. It's a near virtual certainty that your installation will go without any issues at all. Why? Well, they measure each window three times to ensure the proper fit. The windows are made here locally, and their average installer has over 16 years of experience. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. Buy two, get two free on any style Window Nation window. There's no limit. Plus, make no payments and pay no interest until 2024. You'll save thousands on your new windows and your energy bills, all the while upgrading the look and feel of your home. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. Tell them Kevin Sheehan sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, football season's right around the corner. We get our first full slate of preseason NFL games this weekend. We're 2.5 weeks away from the beginning of the college football season. And one of our good friends is joining us on the show, John Orand, at Orand_SBJ. John, of course, writes for Sports Business Journal and has a great podcast with Andrew Marchand, which you can get anywhere you get a podcast. It's called the Marchand and Orand Sports and Media Podcast. Most of you know I enjoy the discussions about sports media and broadcasting, and there's been a big story here over the last couple of days that John has been very involved in providing the details of, and it is the new TV deal with the Big Ten. I do want to get to some of the NFL broadcasting teams because Fox announced their lineup of broadcasting teams within the last 48 hours. We'll talk to John about that. But John, let's start with, and you know why I reached out to you, and that is the Big Ten, you know, has I don't know who's going to end up with the most money of between the Big Ten and the SEC, but the Big Ten is making strides towards what would appear to be one of the biggest TV deals in the history of college sports. Tell everybody about what they're on the verge of doing.
Well, it's the biggest TV deal in the history of college sports. They're poised to be the first college conference to make more than $1 billion, billion with a B, per year in media rights, which is just phenomenal. The headline, it's so hard to talk about this because there's so many tentacles and little wormholes that you can go down. But for me, the headline is that for the first time in 40 years, ESPN is not going to be in business with the Big Ten. I mean, ESPN launched in 1979. Its first Big Ten deal was in 1982. It's been a part of ESPN since the beginning. ABC, which is, of course, ESPN's broadcast, they started carrying the Big Ten in 1966.
Wow.
So this to me, is going to be so odd. I over the past decade or so, you know, Fox launched the Big Ten Network alongside with the Big Ten, and the Big Ten started to be associated much more with Fox than with ESPN and ABC over the past couple of years. But this, to me, is very similar to about a decade ago when Wimbledon left NBC to go to ESPN, and it was a decades-long relationship with NBC. Even today, even though that deal happened a decade ago, this year I was going to NBC first on a Wimbledon morning to catch the games, just because it's so ingrained in my psyche.
Because you're older too, and you, I know, you forget. You're looking for Dick Enberg and Bud Collins, you know, on Saturday and Sunday morning in the Wimbledon final on July 4th weekend, and it's not been there for a while. You know, you're bringing up something. I want to circle back to the package and how they generated the billion with the multiple networks involved. But to your point, the relationship that the Big Ten's had, I mean, it was with ABC, obviously, in 1966, because ESPN wasn't around until the late 70s. And 1966, I believe, was the year that Notre Dame and Michigan State tied in that famous tie game, which where Ara Parseghian played for the tie because he knew that Notre Dame would be voted national champion versus having a loss. But what other runs? I mean, you just mentioned NBC and Wimbledon. What are the other network and sports property runs? CBS and golf, right, is one of the longest.
Yeah, CBS and the Masters goes right back. And that's a unique deal because there are a series of one-year deals. At any time, the Masters could leave CBS, but that's not in the DNA of either Augusta or CBS. You also have the Olympics, which have been on NBC since the early 90s. It doesn't quite go back to the 60s. Recently, IndyCar, the Indy 500, was on ABC going back. It was a similar type of deal going back to the 60s, and it left ABC to go to NBC. So it has been happening here and there, and media money certainly makes it happen a lot more frequently. But you know, slowly you're starting to see these, these long-term relationships crater. The NFL has also had, you know, long-standing relationships. They've been with CBS going back to the early '60s, I think. Mm-hmm. Other than that one period in the late '90s where they left.
Yeah, that one brief period when the NFC package moved to Fox and NBC still had the AFC package, and CBS was out for maybe, I don't know, you'll remember this, maybe a year or two before getting back.
Yeah, I think it was like 4 years. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, with the AFC package. It's so interesting. You know, the other thing that's about to come to an end here, I think this is the last year, is CBS's relationship with the SEC. And I really believe that one of the best sports television products over the last 25 to 30 years, or however long it's been, John, and you can tell me, is CBS and the SEC. And the broadcast that they have on Saturday afternoons at 3:30 of SEC games, I know that's moving to ESPN, but I don't know that anybody's done a better job with a product than CBS has done with SEC football.
Yeah, it was every Saturday at 3:30. I mean, this is what's unique about football on the weekends is in media, every single network prioritizes prime time. But, you know, on Sundays in the fall, the most watched window is not Sunday Night Football. It's that late afternoon game on Sunday. Last year in college, the most watched college football window was the big noon kickoff on Fox.
Really?
Games kicking off at noon on the East Coast. That 3:30 CBS SEC window, that almost always, I think that was number two last year. Maybe it was number three because one of the primetime ones. But it's always up there as the top rated window. And they have great brands down there of, you know, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, LSU, Georgia, all the way through. They generally have really good games. The SEC has become like this real, you know, offensive minded league, you know, with these shootouts that are happening. And, you know, CBS did a really good production with it. They had good games. They got great ratings, and they just sort of grew, the conference grew with them. But
they also had the consistent voice of Vern Lundquist for so many years. I'm not the biggest Gary Danielson fan, and you know, in the last few years, a high quality guy like Brad Nessler, you know, who replaced him. And it was just, it was a fantastic broadcast, too. And for many years, correct me if I'm wrong, and you may not know the answer to this, I think they broadcast those games in a higher level of high definition.
I'm not sure if they did or not. It did. What they were able to do is, look, we're Maryland fans, and we're watching games on Big Ten Network and ESPN. If it's not an ABC game, you know, generally produces in a cookie cutter sort of way, which you know, isn't bad. You're there to watch the game. There was something about CBS's production. They had a few more cameras there. They had, you know, the Vern is like a top tier. He was a big NFL analyst, and but before coming over to college, it just gave the SEC a real big game feel in that 3:30 window. And that's I think what was unique. I'm not sure if the picture was better. I don't think it was actually technically, but
it seemed like it was. I don't know. It always seemed like it was.
Well, they had the intro music too.
Denton, get that. So when we go out of this segment, I want you to play the CBS intro and find an Alabama LSU open, you know, from Death Valley, because some of those are the best. We are talking to John. I want to circle back to this Big Ten package specifically. So how will they get to, you know, $1 billion or north of $1 billion a year in television? Give me the broadcast partners and how it will lay out on your typical Saturday afternoon in college football.
All right, so this is going to be it's funny because it's going to be unique to you and me, and but I'm not sure it's with our kids, because the Big Ten games went already from noon all the way through prime time. But what they're going to do now is they're going to have three major windows on three major networks, broadcast networks. So, you know, every other time I come on here, we talk about cord cutting and how there are fewer subscribers to ESPN. You know, this gets away from that, and they're guaranteed really big audiences. So at that noon window, which is Fox's big window, you're going to have a Big Ten game. So you can bet a lot of money that for the next 7 years, Ohio State, Michigan is going to be at noon on Fox, you know, at the end of the season. And that's going to progress into the 3:30 window, because that SEC package that we talked about, they're leaving CBS to go to ESPN. CBS has a big hole to fill there, and they're going to fill it with the Big Ten. So they're going to end up with the second, sometimes third pick of the week heading into the 3:30 window. That game is going to be unique, because that's going to be competing against a Notre Dame game over on NBC on most weeks, which is then going to lead into a primetime Big Ten game on NBC, which again is going to be the second, third, maybe the fourth once or twice pick of the week in prime time from the Big Ten. So what I've heard, you know, they're still dotting the I's and crossing the T's, so this could all change, but I've heard that CBS and NBC are going to be paying $350 million a year each.
Oh, God.
For those packages. Fox, I don't know what Fox is going to be paying. Fox is sort of running these negotiations because they own the majority of the Big Ten network. But so it's really hard to pin down exactly what they're paying. But by far, it's going to get over $1 billion a year. And it's a total windfall for the conference.
When I read, we're talking to John Oren from Sports Business Journal. When I read the NBC thing with the Big Ten, to me, it said there is an expectation that Notre Dame will be in the Big Ten. Is that the wrong assumption?
I think so. I think that, if you're Notre Dame, why would you go to the Big Ten? I think Notre Dame is going to be able to command somewhere around like $100 million a year in TV rights fees from somebody, most likely NBC, as an independent. I don't see what the advantage would be for them to enter into the Big Ten. Plus, I know they can buy themselves out of the grant of rights. That grant of rights with the ACC, it's pretty onerous. I mean, we're Maryland fans, right? We know that it costs us a pretty penny to get out of the ACC. And that was just as that grant of rights was coming due. I mean, that's going into the 2030s now. So it's not a completely easy fait accompli, so to speak.
Okay, well, so that NBC Saturday night window, which has been, you know, Notre Dame's had either the 2:30 start on Saturday or they've had the 7 p.m., you know, or 7:30 start. So they're not going to play night games on NBC?
Maybe not, but remember, NBC doesn't have every single game. So
that's true.
They'll play night games. Right. They'll play night games on ESPN, ABC, you know, and, yeah, and wherever else.
I'm sitting here now, obviously, with the addition of USC and UCLA to the Big Ten, you'll be able to cover those three windows, but you will have weeks where
there are going to be some dogs.
Yeah. There are going to be some dogs. You know, I mean,
and I've talked to actually a couple of TV programmers about, like, what do you do in this case? And so you're never going to do a Maryland at Ohio State, but you could do an Ohio State at Maryland and just pray that it's close at halftime. and so there is going to be a lot of it's almost like gambling, actually. There's just a lot of betting on things and holding your breath and hoping that you end up with a good game.
Yeah, because you would, I mean, it's going to be Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, pretty much as, and USC as locks for,
yeah,
you know,
you
three of those
think,
four
and
those.
I think you can throw Wisconsin in there as
yeah,
well.
Sure.
And,
yeah,
and maybe Michigan State, but yeah.
That's right.
Generally,
Nebraska
right.
Occasionally. Sure. Iowa occasionally. But you're not going to have Maryland Rutgers in the in the 12 noon Fox spot, more likely than not. But you know, there are other outlets. Obviously, the Fox, you know, owns the majority of the Big Ten network, so you'll still have games on the Big Ten network. What about Amazon? What about any of the streaming services? Are they a part of this or not?
Yeah, I got bad news for you, Kevin. Are you a Peacock subscriber?
I am.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So you're going to be okay because the streaming service is going to be Peacock. Amazon came in. That's another tentacle of this. But Peacock is going to have, I was told, quote unquote, a handful of exclusive games. I don't know what that means, but I do know that you and I are big basketball fans, and especially Maryland basketball fans. And I'm very excited about this new coach. Leaving ESPN is going to especially affect basketball, in my opinion, because they ran so much basketball. And CBS, what, is it going to go on CBS Sports Network? I doubt it. You know, NBC doesn't even have a sports network anymore. So I think you're going to see a lot of the basketball go to Peacock, unfortunately.
Really? Well, I mean, you would have, you know, during the week, if you don't have ESPN, obviously you've got the Big Ten Network. You'll have FS1. During the week, but yeah, NBC's alternative would be Peacock. Yeah, that's a good point with basketball, how it will work. We're talking to John Orand. By the way, just I'll add, Kevin Willard's having a hell of a week recruiting for you.
I'll tell you what, those
fans.
Recruits, I hope they all turn out. But yeah,
yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Okay, so let's move north of $1 billion. I mean, you didn't even mention NBC Peacock. It'll just be part of the NBC, you know,
it'll be part
$350
of the
million offer, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I know you want to move on, so I'll make this really quick. But this is Amazon came in. I'm told they came in with a really strong bid, but having the conference move off of the linear television networks and especially broadcast television networks. There's not everybody's looking at Amazon and Apple. When are they going to come in and get something really significant? I mean, I know Amazon has Thursday night football, but you know, that's it's the worst of all the packages, right? Thursday night. This is another instance where they came in and they're almost bidding with Confederate money. You know, they bid a lot and they ended up not getting a package. So that's just kind of something to continue to look for.
Okay. We are getting ready for an NFL season. I mean, we're still a month away from opening, you know, regular season, but I saw that Fox announced their lineup. We know that, you know, Burkhart's going to be the number one taking over for Joe Buck, and he's going to be doing games with Greg Olson. That was decided a while ago. So what do the next few teams on Fox look like?
So the next one is Joe Davis, who is doing the baseball telecast right now.
I think he's excellent.
I think he does a very good job. Yeah, and a young kid as well. Speaking of which, I think Kevin Brown, who's doing massing games in Orioles, he's been like, maybe it's because the Orioles telecasts have been so poor over the past couple of years, but I think he's really good too. There's a lot of really good young play-by-play people in the business right now. But he's going to be Joe Davis is going to be paired with Moose Johnston, the former Cowboys fullback, as a number two one. But Johnston's pretty much going to be keeping that chair warm because you know, once Brady retires, he's supposed to go into that number one chair, and then Greg Olsen will be coming back down into the number two chair. So that's that's.
I think Olsen is good. Don't get me wrong. You know, and I'm not sure what they had to choose from for the number one team this year. But we'll learn more about him in this big spot this year. You know, Kenny Albert, I still think, calls a great game. And I think the same about Kevin Kugler. And Joe Davis is good. Don't get me wrong. But the third team is Amin Schlereth. Is that right, or is it Albert Vilma is the third team?
You know, I don't have it right. I don't have it right in front of me, so
okay.
I'm not entirely certain. Yeah,
I'm trying to project who we're going to get a lot of this year. We'll probably get a lot of Myers, Gary Myers, and
Chris Myers
and Robert Smith. It looks like they're a pair this year.
Well, I will say this. So one of the reasons that Fox. I don't want to say they were eager to let Buck and Aikman go, but that they were able to let Buck and Aikman go is that they felt that they had a really deep bench. And so, you know, if you even mentioned Kenny Albert, I think he's down at the number three or number four. He does call a good game. Like, they do have a deep bench. I'm not sure if he's a number one type voice to replace a Joe Buck. I think he probably isn't. But I think he is a totally competent play-by-play guy. And I think that Fox, more so than CBS, which I also think has a pretty good roster, just is top to bottom, you know, better than Monday Night Football has been for the past couple of years, right?
Yeah, just remind everybody real quickly. I mean, we can do this again right before the regular season starts. The Sunday night games on NBC will be Tirico and I'm blanking right now. Collinsworth.
Yeah.
So it's Tirico Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football. Monday Night Football is
Buck and Aikman.
Buck and Aikman, of course. The Thursday night Amazon games are Al Michaels and
Kirk Herbstreit. I have a feeling that is going to be a surprisingly good telecast.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, although I think Al's lost his fastball here the last few years. That's the only thing I would
say.
He is,
but you know, he still has that voice. Like, you know, once that voice comes out, it's like, oh, this is a big game. And
yeah.
I think Kirk Herbstreit is fabulous.
You know, I could do this for another hour with you, but I got to move on. Thank you for doing this. The Big Ten package is obscene.
Can I hijack one quick thing? I just
broke
a story that you're interested in, I'm sure. Black Friday, the NFL is going to stage a game, 2023. Amazon's going to carry it, and it's going to be totally new for the NFL, and it's their opportunity to try to take over that Thanksgiving weekend even more than they already do.
So you'll have the triple header on Thanksgiving, and then on the day after, Black Friday, which has been dominated by college football over the years and some rivalry games, you're going to get an NFL game. Will it be prime time?
I need to figure that out. I think it might be a late afternoon. It may be prime time. It's going to be one of those two windows, but it's going to be on Amazon. And the idea is Black Friday, people are shopping. People are going to be on Amazon, and it's sort of a natural segue. Amazon's paying close to $100 million for this game. But basically what people are paying for wild card play, other networks are paying for wild card playoff games.
Well, I think there's an argument to be made that Thanksgiving weekend is the greatest sports weekend of the sports calendar. Just that Thursday through Sunday. And let's not forget, because you and I are huge college basketball fans, you got a lot of great college basketball going on simultaneously. Thanks, as always. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin. Have a good one, man.
Ben Standig next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.